Hey, single parents community, this is Wedi Gore. I am back. I hope everybody has been having a great time. Been gone for some time now, but I am back in full swing and ready to blow this platform up. Today is a very exciting day because I have a guest on the show who is a counselor. But I won't even go into details as far as the topic. I will allow him to introduce himself.
Hello, everyone. I am Rory, the Listening Veteran. You can find me on Instagram at The Listening Veteran. Thank you for having me, Wedi.
You are very welcome, Mr. Rory. I've been gone for a while, like I said. I'm back in full swing. I just want to know if you guys have been holding up very good. And thanks again for everyone who continued to subscribe to my podcast and listen and have fun with me. I enjoy reading your messages. I enjoy your support in every way. Today's topic is very touching. Well, it's very touching for me because I'm able to come out here and speak my mind, speak my wisdom, speak my thoughts. So before I say anything else, I'm so thrilled and I am so joyful at the same time. All those adjectives speaks me right now at this moment. Today's topic is, are you a parent or do you just hold the title? As I previously said on my first intro on my podcast, I am a single mother of two. I am a parent. So what do a parent look like to you? What is your definition of a parent as a single parent, Mr. Rory?
So, you know, that's a very interesting topic when you ask, you know, are you a parent or do you just hold the title? From the perspective of being a parent, also having been a single parent before, you know, I've actually held both roles. As a younger parent, when I was a weekend dad, I guess you could call it that, you know, I was under the mindset that, oh, as long as I provided, then I was doing the job of a parent. However, when I volunteered to be a single parent, I learned that there is a difference between the title as well as the responsibility. So for me, I think that it'll boil down to beliefs and values. And let me explain what I mean by that. Beliefs and values is where someone is, they have a system that they're used to, their social norms, their societal norms. So if they grew up understanding that the father is in the home, the mother is in the home, and the mother's role is to do X, Y, and Z, and the father's role is to do X, Y, and Z, then that becomes their norm. Well, growing up in a city where you saw a lot of single parent homes where the mom was there by herself and there was no father. So growing up in a household like that, I was under the assumption that we didn't get what we needed from our dads. So then when I became that weekend dad, I was supposed to simply provide. You know, if I never experienced love, affection, and things of that nature, then it was foreign to me. And I thought that as long as they got it, my child got it when I was around, then I was doing my job. But, you know, you get older, you learn more things. And I think that I saw it differently at a very early age, having my first child at 20, and by the age of 22, recognizing that there is a difference between being a parent and holding that title. I would even say that raising a daughter on top of that, mm-hmm. as a single parent, was even more difficult, because I had to learn things about a young lady that I did not know. And I'm gonna be honest, you know, I was very fortunate because I had a community of people who reached out just to help me. And when you're, again, used to just holding the title, the responsibility can seem overwhelming because you're not really aware of what the of being a parent really is. So you it's just a little bit harder for you.
But this is what I want to say. Being a parent with the title doesn't mean you're a parent. And you already spoke, you know, you already spoke on that. Because there are people out here, there are some males out here that I can truly speak for. Because this is in my personal life. I'm speaking from my point of view. There are people who are holding a title as a single parent, as a single dad, and just feel like, okay, just because you drop something off at the house makes you a parent. Just because you come and see this kid for 15 minutes by dropping this off, hey, little man, how you doing, makes you a parent. I really don't think that makes you a parent. My definition is, my true definition for a truth parent, or a parent who is, you know, holding a title and acting as one, is a parent that is committed in this child's life in every way by providing, as well as spending time educating and all sorts of thing as a single parent, just by you holding a title and think that, okay, maybe because I drop this off, I'm gonna, you know, go out there and say that, hey, I'm a dad. I just feel that by you coming to see this kid doesn't really make you a parent. By you dropping this off doesn't make you a parent. By you being there once in a while doesn't make you a parent. What do you think?
So I feel like there are so many other variables that go into consideration with this particular topic. For instance, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, when people think single parents, I think it's automatic that they think a single mom. And so coming from the perspective as a single dad, where in one situation I had community support and in another situation I did not. And in both situations, what I got from the other parent was nothing, even though it was agreed upon. I feel like to simply hold the title is also, how can I put this? I feel like it's also based off of the relationship that the two co-parents have. And let me explain, because I feel like if one parent is understanding a certain set of values and beliefs, and the other parent is understanding a certain set of values and beliefs, then, and unfortunately I would have to say for some men, because I don't know most, I'll just say some men are under the belief that what is needed from them is financial, not emotional, not physical, but financial, simply because societal norms have said for so long, hey, as a single parent, the other parent only has to provide financial support. It wasn't until for me, maybe about a good 10, 15 years ago, that I began to see societal shifts where people start talking about the relationship that parents have with their children. And I said, the parents, not the single parent, but parents, because I think that the same relationship that a mom has with their child should be the same relationship that a dad has with their child, regardless if he or she are in the household or not.
Fine.
But I also feel that it is the responsibility of both parents to be able to talk about roles. And then, of course, now we would trickle into gender roles, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm referring to, as the single parent, what do I expect of the other parent? You know, and then more importantly, depending on the age of the child, what does the child expect of the other parent? And that should be communication that the two parents could have. And I also feel like that a parent should be honest and say, you know, I hear what you need from me, but that's something I can't do, or something I refuse to do, which unfortunately in a lot of cases I think that that's what happens, because there have been so many instances where the parent who does not have custody of the child still desires a relationship with the custodial parent.
And that is not fair.
No, it's not. And says, well, if I can't be with you,
then you don't have access to your kid.
Then I don't want to have anything to do with the kid, mm-hmm. in some cases. Or like you said, right. or the other parent says, well, you won't have access.
Yeah.
So, and you're right, neither one of those are fair. I think if people took into consideration the views of the child, mm-hmm. and simply said, well, what is it that my child would need from me?
Put the child first instead of your personal needs.
And your own beliefs and values.
Yeah.
Because your beliefs and values will prevent you from giving someone what they need. It's kind of like what Gary Chapman said, who authored The Five Love Languages. Mm-hmm. We have to love people how they desire to be loved, opposed to loving people how we think they should be loved.
That is deep, yeah.
Because what happens is, when we sit here and say, well, you know what, I'm going to love you like this, and I'm sacrificing to love you like this, and we think we're doing a great job, and, right. and I'm talking towards our children even. However, our kid is simply saying, well, mom, dad, I just want you to do this.
Right.
And we refuse to do that because we know better than our children how they should be loved. But of course, now the kid is lost because they're still looking for the love that they feel they desire.
From the parent.
Absolutely.
From both parents, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question to you is, do you think the reason why some dads are not fully dads in their child or children's life, do you think it has something to do with their upbringing, as far as their dad's been missing as well? Do you think it has something to do with that, or that's just because they're not used to being a dad? But I personally feel like you cannot be a dad if you weren't if you weren't fathered by another male.
Right. I think it's a I want to say it's a double-edged sword, and let me explain what I mean by that. Yes, I do think that your cultural background, your upbringing, your experience does have something to do with how you take on your role as a parent. However, I also feel that everything in life is a choice. For instance, if your dad was a career criminal, does that mean that you have to become a career criminal? So it's the same concept. I grew up without a dad. However, I was very active in my children's lives and still am. And it wasn't because I was angry and said, oh, I'm gonna be a better father, but more so because I felt from that experience, I learned what I needed. And so if I could provide that to my children, it just made sense to me. So I also think that what a lot of people don't want to acknowledge for men is the fear of failure.
Mm.
Some men feel that if I'm in my child's life, I will fail. I will fail that child. They will end up like me or worse than me. So some men take a back seat because they don't want to be responsible for the rearing of that child, in fear that they're going to fail that child based off of their own experience. So I can't simply say that it's, their upbringing, but more so the personal values and beliefs yet again. And this goes back into the communication piece and people stepping outside of their norm to do what's, I'm not going to say right, to do what the child believes is right for them.
What I'm going to speak on is what you just spoke about, the failures. Okay, I truly feel that a parent is supposed to be very authentic in front of their children.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your child to see you fail. So that child is not being brought up knowing that, oh, it's not okay to fail. Because everybody is going to make mistakes at one point in life. Everyone continue to make mistakes, and that's how we learn from our mistakes and grow. So when you make those mistakes as a parent and your child or children sees you making those mistakes, they're going to learn that, okay, My mom and my dad made these mistakes, but they learned from their mistakes by correcting them by doing X, Y, and Z. And so it's okay for me to fail, but what is not okay is for me to stay down. I should be able to get up from my mistake. That's what I feel. Every parent is supposed to make mistakes in front of your child or children and allow your child to make mistakes of their own too.
Right.
That's how I feel. So what do you, what's your take on parent making mistakes in front of their children?
I agree with you 100%. And you actually hit the nail on the head when you said allowing your child to make mistakes. One thing that I say to clients is that there's no such thing as mistakes, because a mistake is something that you do on accident. We make choices. And when we make those choices, we decide whether or not the choices work for us or they didn't. When the choices don't work for us, we tend to call them bad choices. So to eliminate the negative speaking as far as a mistake or a bad choice, I always like to say we make educated choices. Because guess what happens when you make a choice that you did not like?
What happened?
You learned something.
Right.
So it's an education. So instead, we can teach our children to learn from the choices that they made. You know, hey, you're going to pick this or you're going to pick that. Either way, number one, live with your choice.
Right.
Meaning, don't beat yourself up over the choice that you made and acknowledge that, okay, you know what? This choice didn't work for me this time. But I can try something else. I can make another choice. And this choice isn't the end of the world. And so when you make choices in front of your children and the outcome is less than desirable, be able to dialogue with them. Hey, you know, I thought I was going to buy this new car. I bought it and it turned out to be a lemon. Let me warn you on how not to buy lemon cars.
Right.
So now you're making choices and you're removing the anxiety of failure from your kid's vocabulary as well as yourself. So as a parent, yes, I do think it's okay to make choices that don't go the best way. And since we're talking about the being a parent and holding the title, people choose to do either one of those. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I was saying earlier is that they're choosing based off their beliefs and values. And unfortunately, a lot of men have seen the choice made over and over again,
right,
to be a distant dad, to be a non-active parent, because unfortunately in our society, a lot of women have stepped up to take on
the role,
not necessarily the role, but the responsibilities. Of making sure that that child is good, which, you know, and, you know, we've of course already decided we're going to talk about the roles of male and female. However, but just.
Oh, and you know what? Thank you for saying that. You do not want to miss the next episode. You do not want to miss that. That will be the topic, and it's going to be juicier, I feel, than this one, because I will be in there fully arguing for every female, and I'm very sure he's going to be arguing for male, but I feel like I hold the title for both, and I am both in some ways, but not to divert, we're going to get back to what we was talking about.
So again, choosing to be a parent, or choosing to have the title. Again, it's all about choices. It's all about communication. And if you are a single parent and you would like for the other parent to choose to be a parent instead of a title bearer, then that's a conversation. Number one, what does that look like? You can't ask someone to step up if you can't define what stepping up means.
Right.
And more importantly, you can't ask someone to step up if you know their capabilities. So in other words, and I'm not trying to take shots at anybody out here,
no, I get it,
or your dating preferences, but you can't ask a man or woman to be something that you know they're not. So if they're not even responsible in their own lives, all you're doing is bringing yourself undue stress trying to make them responsible. That's just one you might have to just chalk up to the game and keep it moving.
No, but I just truly feel that sometimes as a single parent, I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know about other people, but I'm just going to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I needed my son's dad to be there at the time, mm-hmm. you know, because there were times where I was seriously struggling. Mm-hmm. I needed a babysitter.
Right.
I needed a financial supporter in my child's life, not necessarily for me, mm-hmm. you know, just to, you know, buy uniforms, notebooks, help do homework.
So the question would be, mm-hmm. if that person was capable of doing all of those things, regardless if you wanted it or not.
Yes, I truly feel like, yeah, I feel like they were.
So if they were capable, did they do it?
No, they didn't. They made the choice not to do it.
So the question isn't really whether or not you felt they were capable. It's if they felt they were capable. Because going back to what I said before, yeah. a lot of people fear failure.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and try to help my son, my daughter with their homework because I may look like an idiot. Yeah. Or I might not volunteer to be the provider because I just don't have it. And that means you really got to take a look at the choice you made to bear children with and look at their life. Their life is a direct reflection
of who they are.
Of who they are.
And, you know, like speaking of a parent being so capable of doing things for their children, I will say this. I remember my son's dad came to me at the time, you know, like right before his graduation, and he came to me in tears and he said, "Weddy, I just want to tell you thank you for taking care of our son." At the time, he became the father that day by saying our son. He took that responsibility just for that day. You know, that hour he took the responsibility and he said, and my reason for telling you thank you is the way in which you have molded him. Because if I was in his life, he wouldn't have turned out to be the man he is today. And I was so shocked. And I'm like, you're a man.
Okay, so that just proved my point. He just literally told you that you did what I was not capable of. So the person you were looking for to assist you did not exist.
No.
And he just told you he didn't exist.
I felt that was very sad. I felt sad for him. But previously, I had told my son, you know, I made the excuses up for him.
Right.
While he was absent, you know, I told my son one of the main reasons for him being absent is because he didn't have a dad in his life. Now, he wasn't raised by his dad.
Is that an excuse or is that a reality?
That is a reality. That is a reality. But no, but then again, you also said that you make the choice. Mm-hmm. So he had to choose if he could be a parent in his son's life or just hold the title and just pay child support.
Right.
And be absent. And I think he chose to just pay the child support and be absent from what we all know. You know, right. When I say we, me, him, and my son.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's a very valid point from your personal perspective. And it still boils down to choices. And at the end of the day, it's still going to point out to people who decide to be a parent or to hold a title. And the unfortunate part, there are people out here who hold the title and don't realize that that's all they're doing because they equate being a parent with providing financial support. So
just by holding a title, I feel like holding both titles, being a parent and holding a title, I think that's the best thing to ever do, because once you are not in that child's life and you choose to be a distant parent, affects that child a whole lot of ways, you know, like in a whole lot of ways, because not only does it put the burden on one parent, it also takes away from the child because you're not in his life. You're not, you know, like you're not in his life physically. Just because you pay child support and support that child from a distance doesn't mean that you're very supportive. You have to be there physically to support that child. I remember when my son would look up to see his dad for birth dates and he wasn't there, he would look up the stands to see the dad show up at football games, and the dad was nowhere around to be found. And I also remember when he got the phone call saying, hey, I'm gonna buy your ticket and pick you up, and the suitcases were packed and we're sitting there waiting for my son to get picked up, and he never showed up. Didn't even call. So I feel like holding that long distance title doesn't really make you a parent. I feel like you're supposed to be in your child's life physically, financially, emotionally, and everything else. Because I don't want to always have to teach this kid sometimes, hey, you're supposed to put condoms on this way. I think that's a dad's role to do that.
So
that was humor though.
I know, I heard you. So what does it mean when you have a parent who is hardworking and they don't have the time to be as physically present?
No, sir.
So what if they're overseas?
Uh-uh.
In a job that takes them overseas?
Uh-uh. This parent was not overseas.
No, I'm not referring to yours. We're talking.
Okay. It made me get in my feelings. Oh no. That would be different. That would be a choice that, you know, like, again, well, you said that, you know, it's a choice that both parents have to make to come together, to compromise and mm-hmm. be like, hey, I'm gonna be overseas, you know, just like the parents that are in the service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to come together and say, hey, you know, I have to serve, so, and you're here. So by you taking on this responsibility, or are you able to take on this responsibility? And at the time, I think the other parent who is not in the service, that's a hard thing to do.
So I do want to point out though, and I brought that one up for a reason, because a lot of parents will say, well, you know, I was in the military, or they may say, you know, I was offshore, I had this job. Everything that we do as parents is about one word, and it's called sacrifice.
Right.
And so sacrifice says that if you're in the military, if you're working offshore, if you are a truck driver, everything these days are simply a phone call away.
Away, yes.
You got FaceTime, you got all these apps that can do video calls. So there's no excuse on why you can't be present. And what I will say, and this is pretty much how I'll end my piece, what I will say is that it is the parent's responsibility to nurture the relationship with the child.
Yes.
It is not the child's responsibility to nurture that relationship. So there are a lot of men, especially, who have gotten in their feelings because their children don't call them. Their children don't look for them. At the end of the day, it was your responsibility to nurture that relationship.
Right.
Put your pride to the side, and whether your pubescent child doesn't want to spend time with you, doesn't want to talk to you, that's irrelevant. You go the extra mile, even if it's just letting them know, hey, look, I care. You may not want to talk to me today, but one day you'll realize that I've been in your corner for all these years. And that is one of my stories, because I'm gonna tell you, my oldest daughter at 17 wanted nothing to do with me. And by the time she was 22, literally said that I was the only person that had her back no matter what. So that's my take on it. And thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being on this platform. And thank you for showing up and showing out. I really do enjoy you. Guys, you know what would be so fun? If we can just have an ad for, you know, parenting, you know, Adidas, you know, Nike, what's up? That would be a great one. Thank you, Mr. Worry, for showing up and showing out again. See you guys soon and have a great evening.